Hey, fabulous listener. If you want to become a powerful and profitable trauma-informed coach, my business partner, Kushla, and I have a special free 5-day training starting next Monday, April 29th. To join us, you can simply message me the word powerful at Erin Anderson Trauma Coach on Instagram, or on Facebook, you can find me at Erin Anderson Betrayal Trauma Coaching, and we'll send you the details so you can join us. We're going to be sharing some special training on our body, mind, energy approach to help clients have faster shifts and healing, and how we make a consistent 5 figures each month as trauma-informed coaches. So if that sounds like something you or someone you know may like, make sure you come join us for this 5-day challenge. We're going to be sharing more in there than most paid programs. Welcome to The Other Side of the Struggle. This is a podcast where we talk about trauma, how to heal it, and then how to take it and use it to unlock your mission and your potential, and to use it to live your very best dream life. When you're dealing with betrayal trauma, it can be hard to know how to heal it, how to stop the pain, and to know what your next steps are to take in your own life. And these are the questions that we try to answer here. Trauma has the ability to rob us of our joy and identity, which is why it's so miserable to experience. But with the right tools and with the right mindset, we can totally reclaim that joy and even use this trauma to strengthen ourselves so that way trauma does not knock us off of our joy again. Living your dream life should be a non-negotiable, but trauma tends to try to negotiate that with you. And even though trauma is not something that we will completely ever be free of in our life, the pain is negotiable. This is why I created Erin Anderson Betrayal Trauma Coaching and this podcast, is because I want my listeners, I want my clients to live, truly live free from the prison that trauma can put you in. I want you to live on the other side of the struggle. Okay, I want you to stop what you're doing right now for just a minute, and I really want you to hear me out. I want you to go right now to erinanderson.kartra.com/page/heart of gold. There you are going to find a free meditation just for you from me. This meditation is amazing. Let me tell you a little bit about what it's going to give you, okay? Number one, it's going to help boost your confidence. If you are dealing with trauma, then you are most likely dealing with a confidence issue as well. And it's something that you are really, really wanting back. Number two, it is going to help you find security in your situations, in your life, because it's going to help you gain a sense of self-love and some self-trust. The third thing this is going to give you is an ability to escape the trauma that you're experiencing right now, this very minute, and help you find peace and joy and love and a deep appreciation for you and your experiences. This is going to really help you reconnect with yourself. So that is very, very, very important when you are dealing with healing from trauma. So again, I'm going to tell you what that website is that you need to go to. erinanderson.kartra, KARTRA.com/page/heartofgold. Capital HEARTOF, capital GOLD. Go check out this meditation. Please claim it for yourself because it is 100% a gift from me to you to help you heal right now from trauma. All my love. Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of The Other Side of the Struggle. We have back with us again the fabulous and famous and wonderful Kaisen Kid and my business partner. Let me tell you guys, I love working with Kaisen so much. A little bit of a backstory between me and him. When I started coaching women through betrayal trauma due to their husband's addictions, I would sit there and say to myself, wouldn't it be cool if I could find someone to step into the role of coaching men through the pornography habits? And, you know, I talked to a couple of guys, worked a little bit with a couple different coaches that worked with men on pornography habits. But the reason why I'm like loving working with Kaisen is he's really... He sits into his clients' energies really well. He's very good to listen to him, very good to work with them through their emotions and their energies. And he's also like one of the most down-to-earth people I've ever met in my life. So he's an absolute joy to work with. Love having him on the podcast. So let's welcome him back.
Thanks, Erin. Yeah, it's awesome to be here. I'm grateful for, I think it's been a year and some since we started working together, and it's been an awesome kind of wild ride.
It has been a year.
Yes, yeah, it's just been awesome. I'm really grateful to find someone that I also resonate with and feel like I can trust the foundational, you know, like the place you come from as a coach, where a lot of times I feel like I have to be on. You know, I feel like a lot of times betrayal trauma coaches needfully, you know, they stand up for their clients. Like, I'm here to stand up and like almost protect you from those terrible men that have hurt you. And I think there's a place for that type of an energy. Like, let's get you safe. But I've appreciated that you also stand up for the men. I feel like you stand for both and you advocate for both. And I think that is invaluable.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that. And it is because, you know, the man is whole with the woman and the woman is whole with the man, you know? And it's just like the more that we can understand like how much the relationships we have with our spouses and our friends of the opposite genders and our friends with the same genders and, you know, even our kids and everything like that. It just makes such a rich life, you know, and you know what I mean, you know, saying these things. So
yeah,
thank you. I appreciate it. Okay. Well, today, my loves, we are talking about freedom to desire and creating the unashamed life. And now this is something that Kaisen and I have been talking a lot about. This is something that we talk a lot about in Immune and Unashamed, which is one of our programs, which we'll talk a little bit more about at the end of today. But I wanted to ask you, Kaisen, what's the difference between desire and need? And I feel like this is such a really good question because this was something that you actually helped me understand personally. I remember coming to you with, you know, a struggle not too long ago, and you were like, well, you're saying need. A lot. Matter of fact, just before this podcast, you were like, where's the desire in that? And I'm like, ah, oh, you know, so I really think that this is a good thing that you can talk to. Like, what is the difference between desire and need?
Yeah, totally. if I have your permission, I'd love to go on like a little bit of a rant here.
Have at it.
This is one of the, you know, there are many principles that I love and I feel are true. And there's many principles I'm still practicing. This is one that I am still practicing, but it's anchored. Like I'm listening. I'm observing. I'm very aware of when need comes in versus desire. And it's something I've loved thinking about. I think there's a few different ways to talk about this. You can talk about it as like should energy. And if you feel like you're saying, I should do this, I should do that, or I have to, or I feel expected to, that's all the same as need energy. And I think for me, the biggest like kind of punch in the face statement is the idea that needs actually aren't real, or that needs are stories. A lot of times, I know we've mentioned this briefly in the past episodes, but a lot of people will try to own something as a need. You know, I've got emotional needs, I've got physical needs. A lot of men will say, I have sexual needs, I need my wife to fulfill, you know.
And women say it too, you know, and, hear it too, yeah.
Totally, yeah. We sometimes show up in relationships that way. It's like, I have a need and I need this to be taken care of by someone else. And what I've been learning is that there is no need unless there is first a desire. So you cannot have, you know, if you just put a Y on the end of those, like, okay, I need, go to the most basic one, I need food and water. It's like, well, why? So you need food and water if you desire to stay alive, you know, to keep your physical body alive. And yeah, you can call it a need if you want. But I think it's more powerful to own it as a desire. And I would even take that into a pre-mortal space for those that like to think this way. Like I like to go to the very foundation of the universe. Like when we first started, because a lot of people will say, okay, we need a savior. We need Jesus Christ. And I think that is true if you first desire to improve. We need a savior if you desire to return to God, or if you desire to be healed, or if you desire to be free from the darkness in your life, or however that fits into your framework. And I think it is so much more powerful to own that desire than it is to say, oh, I need this. I need someone to come in and save me and rescue me, which is like, it's partially true, but it's way more powerful to say, I desire Jesus Christ. I desire a higher power to help me succeed and grow and learn. And if you can kind of feel, maybe you can kind of feel the difference between those two energies, saying I need something and I desire it. And I'll throw in one more example. I love the example of Peter, the Apostle Peter, walking on water. It's a story from the New Testament. I actually don't know which part, but it's in there. And Peter, they see what they think is a ghost out on the water. It's like been storming, and they see a ghost. And then that ghost calls out and says, you know, it's me, Jesus Christ, fear not. And at least the way the story is written, like the very next verse, Peter says, Lord, if it's you, tell me to come and walk to you on the water. Like, how crazy is that? To me, what's so amazing about this example of Peter is he is acting purely out of desire, saying, it's like this, I feel like there's this childlike, just like, oh, can I do that too? Like, I want to walk out there. I want to stand on top of the water. And a lot of times I think we think that miracles come when there are needs, like, oh, we need to be saved, we need food. But look at this cool miracle where Peter just said, I want to do this. Will you let me do it? And so I think I love that energy of creativity. When I desire this, I'm going to ask for it and try to create it. And I think sometimes the need energy is what happens later in the story when he falls in the water. That feels like, okay, I need you to grab me. I got scared. And it's okay to be there as well. Jesus will meet you in your needs and in your desires. But I think it's so powerful to practice sitting and standing in desire.
Oh, it's beautiful. You know, I was learning a lot of things too there as you're talking, because I mean, you are very much right. Like what we desire is far more like potent than, you know, being in need energy. And, you know, I remember being stuck in that need energy, you know, 10, 11 years ago when, you know, I had my husband dealing with his pornography habit, right? And taking it very personal and feeling very betrayed and very hurt. But getting into like what it was I actually desired got me into like this creative energy, and creation is actually the opposite of trauma in every single way. You know, and that's what I've noticed. Like once you start getting into creation, I've seen men heal from pornography addictions, like, you know, or habits, I should say, because it's actually a habit. But I mean, you've done it. I've seen so many men heal pornography habits, smoking habits, gaming habits, like so many habits that are self-destructive when we get into creation. But creation is a part of desire. Like, what is it do we desire to create, right? So with this, and I have to excuse me because I'm going just a little bit off of our plan here in the show notes. But I'm curious, how does need come into desire then? Because, like, I hear myself saying this. So this is what I desire to do. So if I'm going to achieve this desire, then these are the needs to achieve that desire. Like, so for example, like, one of the things I have been desiring lately is to take my business and scale it to 6-7 figures, right? And it's happening. And it's so exciting. I love it. But I also desire to have more time with my kids. And so, as I was looking at my desires, one of the needs that came up was, you're going to have to decide between your coaching business and your online teaching business. And I decided to go with the coaching business so I could take care of my family and my health and, you know, so many of these other things, because I felt like that would be a better catalyst. So taking a look at that and saying, oh, I need to quit my coaching business. I need to set my hours better. I need to, you know, and get more organized in a sense. What would you say to that? So how do you feel about boundaries? It's a legitimate question. A lot of people come to me really struggling with this concept. They often feel guilty for setting boundaries, or they're not sure about even what a boundary is. You know, they've heard the term, set the boundary, things like that, but that's really confusing for them because it's not something that's well taught in our society nowadays, right? They know that boundaries are really important to having healthy, constructive, supportive, and wonderful relationships, but why? And oftentimes, they also know that they feel like their boundaries are being violated, but they can't quite pinpoint what the boundary is that's being violated. That's why I've created the Clarifying and Creating Your Boundaries free PDF. You can find out what your boundaries are, how to tune in to what the boundary needs to be, and how to effectively create and communicate your boundary. So that way you stay in this place that respects you, respects the other person, but also gives you the confidence in your boundaries. So that way you stop being gaslighted, disrespected, and unseen. So having your boundaries really clear gives you a voice and also helps the other person stay in accountability with themselves. So that's not a role that you have to take on anymore. So if you are ready to really have clear boundaries, to really understand what your role is in the boundary, and to give yourself some safety and some protection against people that might try to gaslight you or are just being disrespectful, go grab my Creating and Clarifying Your Boundary PDF at erinandersonthetraumacoach.com. And while you're there, let's schedule a call with me. come have a chat with me so that way I can really, really help you master this particular skill, creating boundaries, clarifying the boundary, communicating that boundary, and so that way I can also help you have relationships that show up to support you, cherish you, and love you.
Yeah, I love that question. I think it's more okay to say need in that situation, right? If I desire this, then I need to do these things. I still think it's worth checking, as you say or think those things to yourself, it's worth checking, okay, but is this the truth? Is this the highest truth? The example that comes to mind is, okay, I desire a car. Let's say your car breaks down or something. I desire to have a working car for my family. So then you could say, therefore, I need to take my car to the shop and pay to get it fixed. And you could own that as a need and convince yourself that that is the only truth. It feels like, oh, I must do this in order to get a working car. But in truth, there may be some other more creative options. Like, do you have a neighbor that is a mechanic that can support you? Or do you want to learn to, fix something on your own? What if there's a better car option out there for you and God would love to drop some money in your bank account and provide that car, So I think the word need is okay. I like to say I like to let it have the energy of a requirement or a plan. Like, I desire this, and so here's my plan to create it. I would love for God to be involved in every step and to stay in desire energy the whole way, to stay in creativity mode the whole way. Instead of, sometimes out of scarcity, we do this thing where it's like, okay, I have this desire, and then we step into need, and I picture need looking like arm's length, kind of blocking people out, stay out of the way of my need, or also come fix my need, don't get in the way of the thing I said I need to do, because I've set this structure in place that can't bend, otherwise I won't get what I desire. When instead, I think there's a way to match the structure of a desire with requirements, and also the flow of maybe we could break the entire laws of physics here and just walk on water, instead of saying, I'm saying this principally, I believe the principle. I'm not saying I'm breaking the laws of physics all the time, or I don't know if I ever
sometimes
have.
We do.
I guess we do. That's probably true.
That's where miracles come in, right? Is where we're breaking the laws of physics, and it's physics, and it's like, what just happened?
Yeah,
right?
And I think if you're too closed, you're saying no to God stepping in his full power to assist you. Does that feel like it connected to your question?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And I like the idea of a requirement. So what are my requirements in order to step into this desire? I love shifting that, because words have energy, and so when we're in that need energy, it definitely does feel a bit more scarce, and we have some beliefs around certain boundaries. So for that example that I gave with my business and saying, I'm stepping into something good, I'm going to how good I can stand it, I am saying yes to me, I'm saying yes to my family, I'm saying yes to my coaching, and no as of now to teaching. And that was a total win, because we have to figure out what our yeses and nos are. What are we actually saying yes to? That is a yes. What are we saying no to? That is a no. What are we saying yes to? That is a no. And what are we saying no to? That is a yes, and that can be really confusing. Maybe we'll get into another podcast on that some other time, our yeses and nos, right? But for sure, the idea of I need to do this with my time and this with my time and this with my time, that's still talking and about a scarcity mindset with a time boundary. You know what I mean? And yeah. So it's very interesting to say, once you shift that to requirement, all of a sudden possibilities open up. So love that. Loved it.
That's cool. Can I share a little story
on
that?
Yeah. Yeah. Go ahead.
There's just this interesting, See, I feel like there's two stories mixing up in my head. But there's this interesting thing too, where like expectation, that's the other way to talk about it. Expectation or need, that's the way it shows up in relationships.
Which is the opposite of intention too.
Right.
Know?
Yeah. You got intention and expectation, desire and need, should and desire. yeah, it's just super interesting. And I feel like this one, what's so crazy about this principle is I've believed it really deeply for a long time. And I still, like a few weeks ago, I was like, dang it. Why do I feel so disconnected with my wife? What's going on? And I was like, are you feeling disconnected? She's like, yeah. And then what we find underneath it is, oh, we were doing an expectation game. I expected you to do this and you expected me to do that, instead of saying, what would you love? How can we be creative here? Then it can even go as deep as I expected her to expect me to work, almost like to motivate myself. Like, I expect you to have expectations for me because I'm afraid I won't do it out of my true desire. And so one of the things that will come up is, I've seen this so many times in myself, where I'm in this wrestle where I'm like, oh, why won't my wife like make more time for me to work? You know, let's just say that as the simple version of the example. Like, I want more time to work without the pressure of like being done, because otherwise, how else am I going to get more money so we can get more of the things we want, right? It's like this whole need web
energy.
And what's so crazy is that there would be times where she'd go, hey, it's Saturday, I'm going to take the kids and go hang out with a friend for a play date. You've got like 5 hours all on your own to just work and do whatever you'd like. Here's what's crazy. When those times come up, I would realize I don't want to work. I'm afraid of actually stepping into work. And I'd feel myself getting pulled into like just wasting my time, or maybe I'll do something else, or maybe I'll call a friend and, or maybe I'll play some video games. And so what's crazy is I was owning it as a need all this time. But when like the rubber met the road or whatever, it turns out I actually was afraid of my own desire. If that makes sense. So yeah. I was throwing that on my wife, saying it's your fault, I can't do what I want. But once I was presented with the opportunity, I realized, oh, I'm the one stopping me from my desires because I'm afraid of, you know, whatever it is. I'm afraid of success. Right. I'm afraid of failure. I'm afraid to show up powerfully. So that's one of the other reasons it's powerful to own your desires. And then you get to actually go experience, like you get to be accountable for creating it instead of putting it on other people all the time.
Oh, I love that. That's really powerful. You know, that actually kind of brings us into the next piece to this podcast, is like, you know, how can we intentionally increase our desires? Because we do end up like, I was guilty of that too. Like sitting back thinking about, when I was desiring healing, I was waiting for Ruben to do the healing first before I could heal. And, you know, I see that in a lot of relationships, a lot of marriages. My ex has to stop abusing me. My ex has to stop being a jerk before I can actually live a peaceful, normal, happy life, you know. And granted, yes, people can sometimes make things difficult for us, but I do think that oftentimes, like you said, we are afraid of our desire, you know? So how do we intentionally increase our desires?
That question's so big. It's like, it feels like there's 100,000 beautiful answers to that. I'll say a short one, and then I'd love to hear your thoughts on it too.
Okay.
I think, man, it's like I'm swirling around in a whirlpool of like, oh, it's this, it's this, it's that, you know, like different thoughts bouncing around. I think a really cool anchor for me lately has been to think about the acorn and the oak tree. So an acorn, you know, just for the symbol or for that parable, I guess, like an acorn becomes an oak tree or it doesn't. It doesn't become a pine tree. It doesn't become an elephant. Like, it's because within the acorn is everything required to become an oak tree. It simply needs to receive nutrients and receive you know, opportunity, receive being planted, however you want to say that. And so sometimes I think we get afraid that we don't have good in us. Like we get afraid that we're bad people trying to become good, or that we won't have good desires. But I find that when I scrape away the fear and the trauma and the need and the shame, I find that at my core, there are good desires because God put the oak tree in me. Like I will become like him as I grow and receive the good things I desire. And so to your question, like how do I intentionally increase desire? One of the answers that comes to mind is to actively look for the good, the true good desires that are already in me, and not like there may be other desires that will trickle in as I go. But like, I think it's really cool to trust that probably most likely you have a great righteous desire that's already totally in your heart that you haven't yet stepped into. And once you step into that one, I would bet there's going to be another one. Like the oak tree is in there, you know, the structure of good desires is in you. And maybe that there's something to be said for just listening, looking within.
Oh, I think there's something totally to be said about that parable right there. You know, that we are the acorn with the potential to go the oak tree. But it depends on what it is we desire. The desire is the thing that creates the nutrition. You know, one of the things that we talk about in the Immune and Unashamed program is this idea that we have several different bank accounts. We have our mental bank account, we have our emotional bank account, our spiritual bank account, our physical bank account, right? And our monetary. But just like if you don't consistently make deposits in the monetary bank account and you're just making withdrawals, eventually that will cause you to completely deplete your bank account and go into the negative, which is kind of a stressful situation. So, we do the same thing though when we get into, you know, stress. We literally deplete our bank accounts, our emotional, mental, spiritual, and sometimes even physical, often physical, I would say, bank accounts. And for what? What are we investing in? I mean, that's a really good question. For me, I noticed like some of the things I was investing in when I was trying to heal from my husband's porn habit was that I was trying to put all my time, effort, and intent and energy and mentality and emotions and like all of my resources focused on this problem. And I was trying to control him. And I was trying to get him to see things my way and to have him understand what this felt like. And I was so desperately seeking for him to get it so that way it would stop and then I could heal. And that was the thought process, right?
Yeah.
And over and over and over again. And I was going absolutely crazy. And our brains love predictability. And so once we get this trigger, it's going to re-traumatize. It's going to get us into reaction and blame, coping and avoidance, control, trigger. And it just keeps going. This cycle, that's the cycle, that's the trauma cycle, right? And I didn't realize that's what it was. That's what I was doing. But that trauma cycle literally siphoned all of my energetical resources. And so I was feeling overwhelmed, depleted, defeated, the victim, constantly in expectation and I'm like distracted. And these are all like the adversaries to the seven pillars, right? And once I asked myself the question, what do I desire? to put my time, effort, and energy and intention into that's actually going to give me a better return on my investment. That was a huge, huge game changer. It was amazing. Because now, instead of living in expectation and having all of my energy siphoned, I was actually putting these resources into something that would give me a return on the investment. And now I feel very abundant and rich and blessed and grateful and joyful and like all of these things. So when a trauma comes my way, yes, it's going to take some of those resources. But it's never puts me in the overdrawn category. And it's not even close to putting me in the overdrawn category. And so I'm thinking like to intentionally increase our desires is also to get ourselves clear with, again, those yeses and nos. And ask ourselves, okay, what am I going to actually invest in? Now, it's not just money, but I'm talking about my mental energy, my emotional energy, my time, my talents, my gifts, my resources. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh, I love all of that. And another angle on the same, like, I guess I'm understanding what you're saying from this angle as well, that as you drew boundaries to your, you know, your yeses and your nos and said, this is what I'd love, this is what I would not love. As you drew boundaries, it gave you space to be in desire. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking about how many of my clients, like the conversation basically goes like, okay, I should be, you know, I should stop looking at porn. I should be a better dad. I should be working more so we have more money. I should be, you know, like all these shoulds, all the shoulds. And all the expectations and needs. Mm-hmm. And then also like my wife needs to stop telling me what to do all the time, or she needs to change this. And it's crazy because after all that stuff comes up, we'll try to go down to like, okay, but what do you desire? And usually it's like, I don't know. That's when men have terrible boundaries, there's this feeling of, I actually have no idea what I desire. I just don't want to keep experiencing what I'm experiencing. And so as you start to shape those boundaries, it gives you space to transform in, you know, transform your life, step into desire.
Well, and this is how betrayal trauma and, you know, porn habits actually align. Because women, when I ask that same question, like, what is it that you desire? No idea. I want my husband to stop looking at porn. Well, that's great, but what do you actually have control over? Like, you cannot, like, I guess technically you could gouge his eyes out and, like, stomp on his phone, or, like, take his laptop, light it on fire and throw it down a gorge. Like, you could do that. I would not recommend it because it's probably not going to make you feel better. However, imagining it might.
Yeah.
But at the same time, we understand each other far better than what we think we do. But the reason why we can't see that is because we are sitting here with the blinders on in our own lane. Right? Yeah. Wives. Your husband doesn't know what he wants either. He's too busy trying to live for you, and you are too busy trying to live for him. And that's why you don't know what you want either.
Yeah.
You know, I hear that all the time too. So almost exactly, like, I wish my husband would quit putting all these expectations on me. I wish my husband stopped expecting me to look like Britney Spears. I don't know how she looks nowadays. I have no idea. Anyway, so yeah. Like, you get the idea, right? And so here we are, we're placing all these expectations on each other. And it's like, stop. Realize you guys actually are dealing with the same problem. So once one of you chooses out, if you choose out of the pornography habit, she's more likely to choose out of betrayal trauma. That's a true statement. But the opposite is true too. If you choose out of betrayal trauma and into your desire and creation, he's more likely to choose out of his pornography habit.
Totally.
Our desires, like, totally crash into each other. And so if you want to move up as a team, when you desire good things, you just sit there and crash into each other, moving each other up in an upward momentum. When you're unclear with your desires and you're busy living in an expectation, your desires crash into each other or the expectation. And now all of a sudden you're going back down and you're in the downward spiral, both of you. It just takes deciding. And that's where the intention comes in, deciding to experience something different, which is amazing, right? So how can we use our, and we just talked about this a little bit, but how can we use our desires to create a home free of trauma and addiction?
Yeah, I think step one is maybe getting clear. Like, don't make this a covert, sneaky, you know, mission to accomplish. Like, if one couple, one person in a relationship is trying to do this, I think it's so powerful to say, hello, spouse, I'm trying to live in desire, instead of just trying to do it without talking about it. Some of the conversations that are most valuable to me with my wife are when I said, hey, I've been struggling to live in desire. Can we practice together? How are you, you know, or I've been living in expectation and need. Can you like help support me? And can I help support you? And we started to create it together. I think that's so powerful. And then I also think clarifying, I'm thinking of how that could apply with kids too, right? Like kids and parents all working together to create what they desire. I love this idea of actually clarifying what desire is. Weirdly enough, I think we can lose it. A lot of times, the way I'll clarify this for people is, are you running towards what you actually want to experience, or are you running away from the things you're afraid to have happen or afraid to experience? Because sometimes we'll call that desire, but it's really just, I'm afraid that there won't be enough. That's not a desire. That's a fear. So I would say there's something cool about like clarifying, you know, what's like the deep desire in your soul, in your heart, that you would create if you were standing with your creator and you trusted that you could.
Ooh, that's such a good mental image. Say that one more time.
What would you create if you're standing with Jesus, if you're standing with your creator, your higher power, and you know, he gave you full permission, like, what do you desire? What would you desire to create?
Yeah. No holds barred. All the doors are open. You can run full steam ahead.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, that's such a yummy question. And it begs the question, Daniel Adams, you know, he's a guest on this podcast quite often too. How good can you stand it? You know, he's asked that question a couple of times on this podcast, like, how good can you stand it?
Yeah.
I mean, we understand how bad it can be, but sometimes we don't understand how good it can really be. And so, like, considering, what would you create if you could run full steam ahead?
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's huge. And that says a lot about you. Like, I want to add to that question. What does that person that can run full speed ahead think like, act like? What are your other desires? And now all of a sudden we're talking about like this ideal self.
Mm-hmm.
And once you step into this ideal self, right? Now, all of a sudden, you are in creator mode. Because the first step is to step into the ideal self. Because the ideal self is what will be able to open up those doors for you. And so once you get a clear picture on what that looks like and who that person is, and you can start accepting like these characteristics of this ideal self, all of a sudden these doors totally like fly open for you and you can run full steam ahead. It's amazing.
I love how present that feels, right? Instead of like future goals, goals we always put out, like 6 month goals, 10 year goals, which are fine. But
love the way
you presented that. It puts it like, if I desired that and trusted I could, how would I act now? How would I feel? What would I invest my time in? It's awesome. I'm thinking at one of my favorite conversations with one of my clients, I was like, we were talking about a lot of stuff and I was like, all right, so what do you like, but what do you desire? And he was like, nothing. Like, honestly, I should just be content with what I have. Like life's pretty good. Things are fine. It's like, okay. So it was a super empty answer. Like, okay. And then we talked a little bit and then I reframed it to this question of what if you were standing with Jesus and you felt like, you know, he loved and trusted you. And then like, now ask yourself the question, what do I desire? His response was, I desire everything.
I couldn't believe that.
Yeah. It was like, whoa, dude, he went all the way from, you know, nothing, I don't deserve anything, or I should just be a certain way, to like, I want all of it. And I hadn't connected this until more recently, but it's like, it's okay to want everything. I want to receive all good things. That's the whole purpose of being here, is to eventually receive all that God has.
Mm-hmm. So. And how good can you stand it?
Yep.
Right?
Exactly.
How good can you stand it? And, you know, it brings such a powerful concept of what we can actually truly do. But, you know, I think back about the person I was 10 years ago, not ashamed of her at all. You know, I'm actually grateful that she experienced what she did and she had the bravery to say something has to change, and to be even more brave and say, I have to change. Right? For things to change, I must change. For things to get better, I must get better. Right? And we don't know what that change or that betterness looks like until we can get clear with that question. You know, and what does that person that can create at that pace think like, act like, do? What do they eat? What, like, who are they at their core?
Yeah.
So, ooh, such a juicy, yummy conversation. So, we are starting Immune and Unashamed, the group program, in September. Now, this is going to be huge, my listeners, because this is a program that Kyson and I are creating and actually have created. We're going to tweak it. We're going to make it just bang up, awesome, fantabulous. And it's a 3-month program for you and your spouse to take together, where you're going to, like, the women will be working with me and going through the 7 pillars of living an unashamed life, to be able to see past their traumas and their betrayals, and to actually step into this creator that we're talking about, step into the ideal self. And the men will be working with Kyson, and they're going to be working on changing pornography habits, changing the mindset, and actually feeling masculine and feeling like they're just awesome, and also stepping into their ideal self. And then together, we'll also be working together with the men and the women to help you guys, like, really step into the masculine and feminine, oh my gosh, that was really hard to say, feminine energies, so that way you guys can become creators together. Our goal is to help you guys rid yourselves of the pornography habits, the betrayal trauma, and to actually start working together as a team. So if this is a yes for both you and your spouse, click on the link below in the description, in the show notes, about scheduling a free call with me. I'll stick Kyson's call scheduler in there as well. We're looking right now at enrolling 6 couples in the group program. This is going to go really fast. And we would love to have Well, we will have these seats filled probably by the end of August. So definitely, if you guys are interested, click the link below, catch some time with us. We want to see you guys step into your desires and create the unashamed life together. Do you have any final thoughts, Kyson?
Yeah, I'm just so excited about the program and the process that it brings, or the experience that it provides, where a couple gets to show up. Sometimes they start in a need, you know, like, we need help, we're struggling, or my husband's struggling and I'm feeling betrayed. I love seeing the switch over to, but what do you desire? Like you said, helping them create together. I would just say that the amazing thing is that you can start to feel that shift like so quick. Once you start, you know, it's like, is it session one or two or three? It's kind of up to you. Once you jump into that, that program and the structure that's been created, there's a shift that can happen. Usually our clients say something to the effect of like, I had no idea how much I wanted this, or I had no idea that it would help me this much. I thought we were just going to like get some tools and tips, but they didn't. Like, I wish there was a way to communicate the feeling here of like your heart shift as you embrace the true principles here. Like, this one we're talking about today is so pertinent of stepping into desire. And I just am excited for those six couples to come hang out with us and experience like actual change, not like painful drudgery change, but like joyful, desire filled change.
Yeah. And for both partners to literally become immune to the pain and living that unashamed life. Like, both of them, they both want that, right? And, you know, like you were saying, the couples that we've had come through this program already, like, they're still experiencing like unmitigated joy with each other, like joy that they didn't think was actually possible with each other, because they were so ashamed of each other. They were ashamed of themselves, and living all of this anxiety and this disgust in a way with their lives. And now, like, these principles in a 3-month time span, I was like shocked to see the changes in our clients from the last time. And now, like, they're going on to create their own coaching businesses. They're going on to create dream jobs. The other cool thing is, like, I have seen our clients like go on and create not only the money that they've invested, like, they've in the program, they created that back plus like 3 times more.
Yeah.
And so it's like
business ideas. Yeah.
Well, I just got to share this story with one of our clients. She was looking to pay off her car, and while she was in our program, somebody just like walked into the bank and was like, hey, I got this extra cash, put it on a loan, and they put it on her car loan, and that freed up like all this extra money for her. And it's like so cool. Like, once we make the desire a decision, the way that the universe works in our benefit is miraculous. And you and I have both experienced that too. Like, there have been those paper bag moments, right, where we're like, okay, I'm stepping in, I'm not sure, like, right, but I'm stepping into this desire, it's going to become a decision, and the blessings that have flown our way from creating that kind of space for them to just be there and to for us to catch them and to receive them has been amazing. So to my listeners, if you are one of our six couples, catch some time with us. Get some time to ask some questions about what the Immune and Unashamed program will look like for you guys, what you'll get out of this, and if this is a desire and a yes for you, then let's get you started with us.
Beautiful. I'm excited.
I'm excited too. September, guys. We are starting this in September, and these spots will go, I bet you anything, they'll probably actually go before August. would be my prediction. So Kyson, thanks so much for being here. Super excited to have you create the Immune and Unashamed program with us and our six clients and our six couples in the group. And until next time, I'll see you guys on the other side. Bye. Okay, my loves. Are you tired of feeling overwhelmed, like you have lost yourself in the trauma, and like you have to control everyone and their decisions all the time? If that is you, then I have a brand new freebie just for you to help you start to organize your life and your time to start reflecting more of what it is you truly want. I cannot tell you how many times I have heard clients and potential clients say that they just wish that they could find themselves again after the trauma, that the trauma is consuming their every thought, and that they just cannot move past it, and that they're feeling super, super overwhelmed by life and their responsibilities, and that they just don't have time for themselves anymore. The aim with Organize for Healing is simply to help you simplify, get some answers, figure it out what it is that you truly do want, start gaining the confidence in yourself, in your decisions, and discover yourself again, to get clear with who you are, have your own back, and become your own best friend. Because my loves, when you truly, truly have those things, you are in true healing mode, and in a mode where trauma cannot disrupt you again. So if you are ready to take some simple actions and simplify your life and to start getting back into play mode and start reclaiming your confidence, your desires, and your life and identity again, go grab my free PDF, Organize for Healing. It is in the link below in the descriptions. Go grab it, and I will see you on the other side. From my heart to your heart. Bye. Hey guys, thanks so much for hanging out with me today and listening in on this podcasting episode. Don't forget to tune in next week. It's gonna